have your Bibles this morning. We're going to look at two passages. I want you to notice a godly mother and how we should respond. I'll give you some things about a godly mother. Now, let me explain this to you. I'll give you an example in Ruth. Then I'll give you the teachings from Proverbs. But I want you to notice that the first thing about a godly mother is that she's elected to trust Christ as Savior. You'll notice, if you would, in Ruth chapter 2, at Jeremy read in verse number 12, he said this, "Unto whose wings thou art come to trust, every lady, even every man and woman and boy and girl in this room, mother or not." In order to be godly, God-like, you and I have to put our faith and trust in Christ. Notice, if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs. This is the other passage I want you to look at tonight, today. Proverbs chapter 31. It is the Proverbs 31 chapter is about what a mother should be like. You'll notice, if you would, probably the clearest list of principles and guidelines to guide a lady's life if she's a mother. Notice, if you would, in verse 30 is the one I want to go to. "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." That's the Old Testament statement for putting your faith and trust in the Christ, fearing the Lord. It's when you've had such a respect for the Lord that you've humbled yourself to him and asked him to forgive you of your sin. Now, if you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I'm a good mother, I've done this, I've done that, but I've not settled it in my heart. I'm not sure if I go to die today, I would go to heaven." The most important thing any woman in this room could do today is make sure you've put your faith and trust in Christ. That would be the greatest thing that you could do, and that would be the first step to being a godly mother. There are a lot of good mothers, but they're not godly. There are a lot of good mothers that take care of their children, work two or three jobs to provide for their families. Maybe they're a single mom, or maybe they're married and they work a job and they do things at home and take care of the family. And they work a great deal. Maybe you are a good mother, but a godly mother starts in the heart. It's when you come to Jesus Christ on a particular day of your life. It could be when you're 4 or 5 or 84 or 85, where you just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'd like for you to be my Savior, and I want to put my trust in you. Would you forgive me of my sin?" The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This would be the greatest Mother's Day in your life, before or after, if you were to put your faith and trust in Christ this morning. And so I would ask every mother in this room, every woman in this room, every man in this room, I could think of no better day to get saved, to trust Christ, than on Mother's Day. You can always remember it. If you're a gentleman, a young man, older man, you can say, "I got saved on Mother's Day." I know there are some people praying for their sons to be saved. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those sons of a praying mother. You could give her greatest Mother's Day gift by trusting Christ today, by realizing that Jesus loves you and wants to forgive you of your sin. Now, first thing she does is elect to trust Christ as Savior. I want you to see the second thing is she is an educator. If you'll notice, if you have your Bible, notice, if you would, in Proverbs 31, notice, if you would, in verse number 1, it said, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." So she is a teacher. Now, I want to just give you just a little thought here. She teaches all kinds of things. She teaches character. She teaches right and wrong. She teaches self-discipline. She teaches respect. She teaches academics. Every mother teaches those things to a child. And it is required to be a godly mother that you teach your children certain things. Moses had a mother that taught him all about the things of Jehovah God. And though he was the Pharaoh's daughter's son, he listened to his real mother as she brought him up from birth and told him all about the great God of Israel. So when he came of age, he trusted the Lord as Savior, not because of his his mother that adopted him and became my son, but because of his mother that taught him the things of God. And he chose the Lord of heaven, the God of his mother and his father, over the God of the Egyptians, who brought all the wealth and possessions to life. He chose the right way, the way that God could use him. And if it were not for his mother, Moses would not have been in heaven today. But the mother taught him. Every mom in this room, it's important that you teach your children about the things of the Lord. I remember growing up, and my mom had a storybook, a book of stories from the scriptures. And I always remember the picture in the one about David and Goliath, because my name was David, and I remember the story about David and Goliath. We would sit down, and Mom would say, okay, what story do you want tonight? I want David and Goliath. And I remember there was a story with David with his slingshot like this, and you see the big giant off in the distance. I remember that one. I remember one about David and the lion and the bear, and it's got the lion raised up, and David slays him. I remember those stories. To this day, when I was a little boy, that's one of the few childhood memories that I have. Below the age of 5 or 6, I remember nothing. I remember getting a C in the first grade in handwriting. That's the first thing I remember. And the trouble I got in for, because I lied to my parents and told them I didn't get my report card, and I hid my report card. That was really the first time I remembered and I learned that you don't lie to your parents ever about anything. It's better to take your lickings for getting a C than it is for lying. As they said, it's a lot worse if you lie about it. I learned that at 6 years old. And so I remember some things, but the things I remember before, the only thing I remember before that is sitting down and Mom reading from that red book. It was about this thick. And we read about Moses, and we read about David, and we read about Noah. And I just enjoyed that. Well, when I got to be a teenager, you know, I knew about the Lord because my mom had taught me about him. Every woman in this room, if you don't teach your children about Christ, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. If you train up your children according to Scripture and live right according to Scripture, your children have an example to follow. They can see the truth as well as hear the truth. So every woman in this room that is a mother is an educator. You must take that empty heart, that blank heart, and put on that heart the things of God. Because if you don't, no one else will. A mother spends more time with the child than anybody else on earth before the age of 6. And scientists, psychologists tell us that a child's character is formed before the age of 6. So moms, you're an educator. You must do a great job. You'll notice here, it doesn't stop. Notice with me, if you would, in Proverbs 31, the prophecy that King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, we don't know exactly how old he is, but notice verse 2. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor they thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So he's a young man, he's a king, and she's teaching him the ways to be a godly king. And so this chapter is written basically from her, from the viewpoint of what she does as a good job, from a mom point of view. And so she tells her son, he says, look, son, look if you would in verse number 10, who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? She's teaching her son what to look for in a mate. Wow, she's an educator. Every woman in this room, you must teach your children about the things of God in order to be a godly mother. You must trust Christ as Savior. You must elect him as your Savior, and you must be an educator. But number 3, I want you to notice, you've got to be an encourager. Look with me, if you would, in Proverbs chapter number 12. Notice, if you would, chapter 31, verse 12, it says this, she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. So she's always trying to do her husband right. But notice with me, if you would, in verse number 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She is an encourager. You'll look back at Ruth's life. Ruth had the worst possible scenario as a young girl trying to learn Christ. Take your Bible and turn to Ruth chapter 1. And notice with me, if you would, really one of the most awful passages of Scripture. Notice, if you would. Now, Ruth, Orpha, and Naomi. Naomi is the mother-in-law. She has two daughters-in-law. Both her sons have died, and her father and her husband's died, and she's bitter about it. And so she looks at her two daughters-in-law, and she's living in a worldly land where they don't know the Jehovah God, and so they worship false idols. And she looks at her daughter-in-laws, Orpha and Ruth, and says, notice if you would, in verse number 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Now, she tells them both to go back to their families, to go back to their gods. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law. Now, Orpha went back, but Ruth said, I'm not. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. What mother-in-law will be so wicked as to say, go back to your false gods? I know you'll never see heaven, but just go back to them, because my husband's dead and your husband's dead. Go back to your false gods. I know you won't go to heaven, but I just don't want you with me. What kind of a mother would do that? And yet Ruth, one of the greatest examples of Christian living in all the Scriptures, says, notice if you would, in verse number 16, a great verse. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor or to return from following after thee. Following after a bitter old woman? For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. She said, I got nothing. You're going to have nothing. Thy people should be my people. And notice this, thy God, singular, my God. But you notice what she said in verse number 15, return unto her gods. You return unto your gods. They worship many gods. And Naomi knew that. She said, go back and worship all your false gods. She just left out the word false. And so Naomi, daughter-in-law, Ruth, looks at her and says, I know you. You have one God, and I want your God to be my God. Wow. She was being pushed away. She was being challenged to go back to the only thing she knew, her family, and the God she was comfortable with. Go back to your gods. And yet she said, no, I want to go with you. I want to have nothing. I want to be with you, but I want your God. Wow. What a young lady of character. Somehow she saw something in Ruth's, in Naomi's God. Notice over in chapter 1, look with me if you would in verse number 20. They come back into their little village, and she said unto them, all the people said, Naomi's back. Look what she says. Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Hebrew word, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. You know what Mara means? Bitter. I don't know how many of you ladies would ever want your name changed from Mary to Mara. I want to be called bitter. Just call me bitter. And Ruth chose that. But you know what she did? She said, I think maybe I can help my mother-in-law. I want to be an encourager to her. I want to be a blessing to her. And she was. Notice if this passage, I want you to see this. Look at Ruth chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse 15. Now, this is Ruth's future husband, speaking. Notice this. This is the women in the village that Ruth and Naomi went to, speaking about her husband Boaz and Ruth. And notice what happens. Verse 14, the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord." In verse 15, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee." How did Ruth love a bitter old woman? "Which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him." What a young lady of character. You know what she did? She ignored the mistreatment. She ignored the wrong advice. She ignored the bitter spirit. And she said, "I love you, and I love your God." Wow. No wonder God said, "I want Ruth to be the great-great-grandmother of David, from whom's going to be my son." Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because she chose to love a bitter old woman and tried to change her. She was an encourager. She was a blessing to her. And that's what every woman that's godly is. She's an encourager to her husband. Maybe he's had a bad day at work. She's an encourager. Maybe her son's come home and or daughter's come home and made a bad grade in school, but she's an encourager. She lifts them up. She has words of kindness. You know, it's not easy to be a godly mother with your words, but it is right. It is what God wants from every woman in this room. If you have children, you've got to be an encourager in order to be God-like. I want you to notice not only that, but she was enterprising. If you'll notice, now I know a lot of women in this room say, "Well, you know, I have a lot of jobs. I mean, I'm a wife. I got to take care of my husband. I got children. I've got a job to do. I've got all these different things." Notice what happens. She's living with this bitter old woman back in their small village. She's got very little. And notice chapter 2 of Ruth in verse number 1. You'll notice that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the line of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, and that was always a curse because she's from a foreign people, a people that don't believe in the Lord. So they said, "Ruth the Moabite." But you'll notice, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean corn, ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter-in-law." You know what she's saying? "I'm not going to go work for a living, but you can go work for both of us." Wow. What a mother-in-law. "I'll just stay home. You go work for both of us." But it wasn't her idea. It was Ruth's idea. Ruth said, "I'll go and work for us." In spite of the attitude of her mother-in-law. Let me give you the right attitude of an enterprising woman. A woman that sees every job as heavenly. Now, us men, we ought to be the same way. "I've done an angel's work today. Yes, such an honor to come my way. Real angel's work. Unless you doubt it, I'm going to tell you all about it. Well, first I cooked. It was so nice to plan the pies and get the fruit and the rice. God sent his angel once to make cakes for a poor wayfaring sake." That would be Elijah. "But just today, he honored me and sent me the task my way, you see, to cook for my family. And then while I tidied up the place, gave every countertop a radiant face, back of my mind this thought would lurk that I was still at angel's work. Putting away coats and dresses and moving small unsightlinesses. For oh, 'tis such a lovesome thing, just straightening out and freshening. And after that I washed a few small garments, old and new. Things I had washed and rinsed before, quite maybe 40 times or even more. I thought, what godlike work was mine." Wow, sounds like Ruth. "To cleanse, to wash out stains, till not a single speck remains. So later in the day, 'twas sweet to sit and rest my tired feet. How to make old things into new. For surely, 'tis an angel's way. to put things right from day to day, since wear and tear must surely be on this side of eternity, I'm feeling very proud to say, I've done angel's work today. I wonder how many of us, men or women, consider the normal task that we have to do, angel's work. Well, Ruth did. Hey, Naomi, I'm going to go work for us today. Go ahead, I'm not going to go. You go ahead and go. No problem, I'll get it. I'll work for both of us. Where is that kind of enterprising spirit? Notice if you have your Bible, take your Bible to Proverbs. You'll see it at the Proverbs 31 woman. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 16. This is Proverbs 31, 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. You know what she's done? She's made stuff to sell to make money. So she's working. She's bought land. She's planted a vineyard. This woman is a worker. She gets up early in the morning. She works hard. Notice with me, if you would, in the same passage, look at Proverbs verse 15, 31, 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She is a hard worker. This is an enterprising woman. She's got things on her plans, on her agenda. She's going to get them done. And you know what? Even though she's thanked none, like Ruth was, she still did it. She went to work. And the Bible says that she went into a field and said, Lord, I'll trust you to send me to the right place. Notice Ruth chapter 2. Notice Ruth chapter 2, if you would. In verse 2, let me read it to you again. In the middle of the verse, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her happen chance. Now, there is no happen chance. This is the will of God. This is the guiding hand of God, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, in this day and age, that someone could buy the rights to her fields and all of her lands, but and she could become his wife, but if that happened, all that he had would go to her and her children. So these men would not take her as a wife. She came back because they didn't want to mar their inheritance for the family they already had. But they had a principle that if someone came back, you could raise up a family to them, but it would be theirs. And so she happens to go to the field where Elimelech's relative was. And Boaz watched her. He wasn't married. He said, wow. Now, he was an older man. And he watched her work. She's a young lady. She's pretty. And yet, she wanted the will of God. So she ignored her mother-in-law, grouchy old, bitter mother-in-law, and said, I'm going to work for both of us. And God just happened to put her in the field with a man that saw her and said, wow, I'd like to marry her. And her children, not mine necessarily, would have rights to all my wealth. But it would be considered Elimelech's wealth. What a humble man. Do you understand today that you have to be an enterprising woman in order to have the blessing of God on the fruits of your hands? But God will bless you if you'll put him first. I notice she's an example. Ruth is an example to all of us of overlooking the flaws of someone. How many of you overlook the flaws of your husband or your children or your boss? How many of you overlook the flaws of your wife or your children or your boss? Do you understand everybody in this room is flawed? We are. We all have things to make mistakes. That's why we learn to say, I'm sorry. We learn to forgive. All of us in this room, everybody here, if the truth be known, someone could say, because of that, I don't want you anymore. And it would be true for all of us. But by God's grace, and that's what Ruth is a testimony of. I see your bitterness. I know you're proud of being bitter, but I love you anyway. What a godly lady. But because of that and her example, Boaz sees her. Now, I guarantee you, if Boaz would have seen Ruth, who had taken on her mother's personality, well, I'm in your field, but I don't like it. I wish I could be in somebody's field that was better to me. I wish I could be in somebody's field where they just give me the grain. I wouldn't have to work so hard for it. You know what he says? He sees her, and he sees her sweet spirit and her love for her mother-in-law. And by the way, it permeated the whole town. Everybody knew it. Remember at chapter 4, we read it? The women of the town said, God has been good to you and gave you a daughter-in-law that's better to you than seven sons would be. Because sons are supposed to take care of their mother-in-law, of their mother. But here is a daughter-in-law that was good to her mother-in-law, better than her own son would be. What an example. Now, take your Bible and turn to Proverbs, if you would, quickly. Proverbs 31. And notice, if you would, in verse number 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know what? The Proverbs 31 mother, woman, is an example. She's a testimony. She doesn't start out and say, I want to be a testimony. I've been married. I've been saved 67 years or 66 years or 61 years or 62 years. And that alone doesn't make us a testimony. You can be saved for 65 years and be a bitter old woman and not have the example that you ought to be. Or you can be like Ruth and ignore all the flaws and faults of those around you and say, I'm going to be an encourager. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to do what's right. And God said, I see that. Righteousness is always blessed. Wickedness, sinfulness is always punished. Do you want God's blessings or his correction? It doesn't matter what people do to you. It only matters how you handle it as an example. I watched my father pack up a Cadillac with all the stuff and drive off and never come home. But I never once heard my mother criticize my dad. He took my mother back to court, lowered the child support to where it put us in government housing. And my mother never complained. She just took on another job. So you know what? I love my mother. I love my dad too. I learned to love him. I was the one that preached both of their funerals. I love them both. But I learned from the example of my mother. No matter what, always have a good spirit. No matter what people say or do, don't let it get to your heart. Always do right. God is the judge. He will stand up for you. Do you know what kind of homes we would have if everybody was like Ruth? Forgave without being asked. Loved without being loved back. What a godly mother Ruth was. That is why God said, I want her in the line of my son. Today, are you an example? And lastly, she was esteemed. She was well respected. The women of the town said, wow, you've got a daughter-in-law that's better to you than seven sons. Seven sons would be the greatest gift God could give a woman. But they said, your daughter-in-law is better to you than all the sons you could ever have. Wow. What an estimation they had of her, of a godly heart. Today, I want you to understand this. Everybody in this room, if you have a mother, you ought to respect her. The Bible says, honor thy father and mother. It doesn't say honor the good ones. It doesn't say respect the good ones. It says honor them all. I'm afraid we forget that. We fill in some extra thoughts in Scripture that's not there. We're to honor them all. So my dad asked me, he said, Dave, he said, son, would you do my funeral? I'm not going to look at him and say, Dad, do you realize what you've done to me? You know what I could say? Dad, I love you. Sure, I'd be glad to. I'd be honored. You know, when he died, you know what I got? Not even a picture. It went to the woman he married for the third time and all her family. you know what? Still love him. I'm still proud of him. I learned from the example that I want to be different. But I want you to understand this. All of us in this room, you are, if you're going to be godly, you're going to have to look at people that make mistakes and say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to pray for them, but I'm not going to be like that. And you know what's going to happen? Your level of respect, people are going to rise and say, wow. Now, the greatest respect goes to those who are godly. So turn in closing, look at Proverbs 31. Look, if you would, in verse number 31. You might want to underline it and remember it. Notice what he says. Give her of the fruit of her labor, of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, in reality, it comes down to the Lord says, I want you to praise the people because of their works, but I want you to honor them because of who they are. There's a difference. Do we do that? Do you honor your wife, respect her? Do you tell her, I respect you? Do you tell your husband, I respect you? He doesn't have to be perfect to gain your respect. What about your admiration? You know, one of the things that I love so much about my wife is she always admired me, and I felt so embarrassed. I read this Bible she gave me. I read last night the statement that she wrote in there, and I said, oh, if I could only live up to that. She treated me like a king. No wonder I would love her. She admired me and respected me, and I said, honey, I don't deserve that. Do you understand today that admiration and respect is supposed to be a part of honor? It's not earned. Now, appreciation, we're supposed to do that too. Do you tell your mate, I love you? Do you tell your mom, I love you? Do you tell your parents, I love you? Do you do things for them to show them that you love them and that you appreciate them? I was in school, and I remember in library, I'd study every night from 7 to 10, and Monday through Friday, I'd go in there and study, and I remember I go to a prayer meeting after I got finished studying about 9 o'clock on Wednesday, and I remember going into that room, and I'd get a book of poems out of the library, and my mom was working 3 jobs, so I'd take those poems, I'd go get some construction paper, because it was cheap, and I'd get some colored ink, and that was cheap, and I'd write a poem for my mom out of the book. I couldn't write a poem. My life depended on it. But I could steal a poem. So I'd steal a poem, write it up. I didn't sign it, Dave Pittman. I just, you know, signed it, Your Loving Son. And she knew that's not my son, but it's nice words. And so I'd write them off, and I'd send them off to her. Every so often, I'd send one to her and say, Mom, I love you, and thank you. That, and you're the greatest mom in the world, all these different things. And I would sign it to the greatest mom in the world. And I didn't know it, but when I got done with college, went back there, and guess what was on the walls? Those pictures framed, those construction things. I walked in and went, oh, Mom, you saved those things. Oh, yes. I said, man, I should have written more. Can't believe I did it just a little bit. I can't believe I was just a little bit appreciative. I should have been a lot appreciative. 3 jobs? You know, the attitude of a mother can make all the difference. My mom's attitude was great. Lord, who am I to teach the way to little children day by day? So prone myself to go astray. I teach them knowledge, but I know how faint they flicker and how low the candles of my knowledge glow. I teach them power to will and to do. But only now to learn anew my own great weakness through and through. Lord, if I their guide must still be, oh, let my little children see me, their mother, trusting all in thee. Today, are you a godly mother? It's a choice. No matter your circumstances, are you a godly father? It's a choice. no matter your circumstances. Are you a godly son or daughter? It's a choice. Today, let's make this the best Mother's Day ever. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. She elected Christ as Savior. She was an educator. She was an encourager. She was enterprising. She was an example. And for that, she was esteemed greatly. Maybe today's the day you ought to really esteem your mother or your grandmother or your mate, husband or wife. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to our feet. If you need to come, maybe you need to come to this altar and forgive somebody first. You can't be a great mother and harbor bitterness even though somebody else is bitter. You have to be loving even though they're not. Today, have you trusted Christ as Savior? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Maybe there's somebody you need to come and pray for. You're a mother, you love your son or daughter or relative. Come and pray at this altar. Lord, would you forgive them? Lord, would you save them? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Come, let me help you. Maybe you're here today and you struggle with somebody that you're close to. Forgive them. Love them. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today as only you can. In your name I pray. Amen.